This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Stumble bum play that you hit the Bears with.
You like that one?
You like that?
It was clever.
You like that?
Right now,
Jason Leisure, Dan Wiederer, they're just sharpening knives.
Jason Leisure.
Another guy I liked, Lawrence Amet, Ronathan Alfonso, the tight end out of Idaho State. High motor, really finishes every play.
How about Quattro Quattro?
Hingle me Kringleberry, Penn State University.
The player formerly known as Mouse Cop. University of Missouri, Columbia.
Dan Smith, BYU.
Bears reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times.
I like how you credit Mahomes and Reed, and it's like when a little kid helps their parent make dinner. And Matt Nagy's going to walk in and be like, and I helped.
I remember when I talked to y'all when I first got here, and I explained to everybody here that this offense, it takes a few years to get going.
Jason Leisure with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We are indeed joined by Jason Leisure of the Chicago Sun-Times right here on 670 The Score. Lawrence is on vacation. Mark Grody is sitting in. We're having a good time this afternoon. Jason, welcome in. How did you take in that Super Bowl? What were your thoughts as Philly dominated from the get-go in every phase? It was kind of a fascinating watch.
It is always great drama to me to watch a great team, especially a championship team like the Chiefs, when they're trailing. Because you just sit there, no matter how bad that margin got, until they got into the fourth quarter, where like maybe late third, you still kept thinking, it's going to happen eventually. Like they are going to make their run back into the game. And then they never did. And you know what it reminded me of? And I think that eventually Tom Brady did say this on the broadcast, but I was thinking this early in the game. It reminded me so much of the other Super Bowl that they lost to Tampa, where they're just Ndamukong Suh and JPP and Shaq Barrett are just pressuring Mahomes the whole game, and he played on a bad ankle in that game. And you're sitting there, and there's like there's no answer, there's no solution to this if they can't buy time for him.
Yeah, it was the last time we saw Patrick Mahomes look bad to a national audience. And I guess things are going well if we have to look back to your bad moments that are being played in Super Bowls. So I think that Patrick Mahomes will survive. But I think what the Eagles are doing and have done is bad for the NFL, Jason, in that we always look to the Super Bowl winner and say, got to do it like that. We need that. That's the blueprint. That's a pretty tough blueprint to copy at this point. When you are strong on O-line, D-line, quarterback, running back, you are completely stacked. That's a hard team to follow up on. And for the sake of Philadelphia, I hope that they can hold on to it for a few years.
Yeah. Follow the Philly blueprint. Here, let me write it. Let me see. Let me get my notes here. Write this down. Let's see. Nail every draft pick and signing Be perfect. Okay,
right.
That's the blueprint.
Every
just
free agent pick is great. Everything, yeah. Right. So you can't follow that blueprint.
You can follow in the sense of they have invested really well. I know their defensive line is what everyone is talking about this week, but I've always admired the way they invested in their offensive line because I think it's two first-round picks and two second-round picks of their own that they spent on four of those positions, and then the left tackle is one of their late-round draft picks who earned a second contract at $22 million a year. And that's what great offensive lines look like. That's how you build a great offensive line.
You know, it's interesting. Mekhi Becton, or maybe it's Mekhi. Somebody called him Mekhi to us the other day, but I always thought it was Mekhi. But either way, he is, you know, a former bust as a tackle pick for the Jets, who now has been a guard for the Eagles and had a great year. Very emotional after the game, sitting on the field there in the Superdome with his kids crying. And I don't know. I think the Bears are going to be after Trey Smith. It'll be very interesting to see how that market develops and if Kansas City is just going to find a way to keep him. They'd have to do some maneuvering to do so. But what do we think about Mekhi Becton of the Eagles as a possible interior line target?
I mean, they need interior linemen and they need guys that can run block. So I think that they're going to go into free agency with this priority list of if Trey Smith doesn't work out, then who do we pivot to? And if you're the Chiefs, I mean, man, you want to try to find a way to keep Trey Smith, but I don't know that you can. And these are good problems to have, by the way. These are problems that you have when you have the best quarterback and one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the game and you're a championship caliber team, is then you have to figure out, well, where do we allocate our limited other resources? Fortunately for the Bears, that's not the situation that they're in. They have a lot of guys, namely Caleb Williams at quarterback, on rookie contracts. So you're getting, in theory, if those guys continue to grow and develop, you're getting $50 million to $65 million a year play on a $10 million or $5 million contract.
Have you looked into it all, like thinking about what kind of players Ben Johnson needs in terms of turnover from the existing offense to a new one? Like I find myself curious about exactly what kind of offensive lineman, but I don't know that I can break down offensive line play to the level I need to figure out if he needs road graders, if he needs people movers, if he needs ass kickers, you know, these kind of things that you hear in terms of lineman descriptions.
I don't. We're going to find that out, though. I mean, we're just a few weeks away from finding that out in free agency. And you remember a couple of years ago, Orlando Brown from the Chiefs was out on the open market. And I think he got 4 years, $70 million or something like that, the left tackle. And Ryan Poles would have been part of the group that drafted him and would have been very familiar with him from Kansas City. And he specifically commented on not signing him as saying it wasn't a scheme fit. So you can look at all of these guys that are top offensive linemen that have the highest PFF grades or the highest projected market value contracts or the guys that were on the Super Bowl teams, and they may not fit. And this is the first time that Ben Johnson will have had this much power in his career, this much power and influence over player acquisition.
Yeah,
so we're going to start getting the answers as we go through free agency next month and the draft the month after that.
That's interesting, man, the power part of it, because in theory, yeah, I think you're it makes sense to me that Ben Johnson had all the success that he had in Detroit. He knows what it looks like. He knows what it's supposed to look like. So it'll be that way here. What do you, and this is like probably a big picture question, but it's also a media too. How is Ryan Poles' job going to be redefined? Do you think he just has less to worry about now, quite frankly? Like, he's getting a lot more help? Or do you think that Ryan Poles has sort of been, has had the power taken away at this point?
I think that you need to give Ben Johnson a lot of say. Equal say, even 51% say on personnel, because you need him to succeed. And that's not a bad thing for Ryan Poles if Ben Johnson is out here picking and dictating the players that he wants for his offense, because specifically for his offense, because Ryan Poles needs Ben Johnson to succeed. If Ben Johnson succeeds, then Ryan Poles succeeds.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like, there's like a pride factor there. And I have no reason to believe that Ryan Poles wouldn't separate from a little bit of power, a little bit of say, just in getting to know Ryan Poles. It seems like the type of guy who would go with that, but it does redefine his role.
It does redefine his role, but I think it does so properly. There's very few situations that have worked historically where the GM just kind of picks the players and the coach figures it out. I think in football, more than any other sport, and I wonder what you think, Jason, like the coach has to have the vision that is served because he's the one using the players, you know? And I feel like that's been a real disconnect for the Bears, especially offensively. You know, it's like Matt Eberflus, I don't think he had much of an offensive philosophy, let alone had input on what kind of offensive players.
Offensive philosophy?
I don't think he had much of one.
I don't think he had one, period.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, and it was marked, the evidence is bad hires at offensive coordinator.
Yep.
And bad performance by the offense. I'm sure that Matt Eberflus had a lot more influence on who they drafted or signed on the defensive side. But again, the offense is the premium. The offense is what the fastest way for the Bears to get good is to get Caleb Williams and the offense going. The fastest track for them to become a playoff team is to get that going. So while Ryan Poles is going to have to, in a way, get the players that Ben Johnson wants, I think Ben Johnson is going to be really helpful to him in that regard, in a way that Matt Eberflus wasn't going to be. Because, it, like you're saying, as far as Matt Eberflus having a defensive philosophy, obviously he would tell you that he did.
Yep.
He would tell you why he hired certain guys, what kind of offense he wanted to run. He would tell you all of that. But it's kind of like when Matt Nagy was the coach and you'd ask him questions about the defense, and it was clear that that was not really a focus or something that he had expertise on. Matt Eberflus was like that about the offense. And if I have to choose, I'd rather have a coach that has expertise on the offensive scheme and the offensive personnel.
Here. I think that's the way of the world. And I think they got very fortunate that this guy is available and seems to be.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready for the leadership piece, as far as we can tell. But is that offensive a vision? Dude, we do a segment twice a week here on the show called Ben's Vision, where we like try to think about specific personnel and how they might fit what Ben Johnson is going to need. And on Friday, we did Cole Kmet. And it was a really interesting conversation with me and Lawrence. I thought, I don't mind saying so myself. The Lions were third in the league at using what's called 12 personnel with two tight ends, okay? They were 11% above the league average at 32%. The Bears were way down at 24th in the league at using 12 personnel. The Bears were sixth in using 11 personnel, which is one tight end. So that is to say, Ben Johnson's going to want two tight ends on almost on a lot of plays. It's going to be the predominant way that he plays if he can. Is Gerald Everett that guy?
No, he's not.
I don't think so either. It's a deep tight end class in the draft. There's not many in free agency. Do they move on from Gerald Everett and draft a tight end to go with Cole Kmet would be my guess. Your thoughts, Jason?
They could. Do you know who one of the tight ends is in this class? Mason Taylor from LSU, and his dad is Jason Taylor.
Wow.
The Hall of Famer.
Okay.
That means his, nice. Aunt, that was, his aunt is Joy Taylor.
Yeah.
Right?
Wow. Oh.
His uncle is Zach Thomas, Hall of Famer.
Somebody's been getting ready for the combine. I think that's what's been going on right here.
Well, this one stood out to me because I used to cover the Dolphins, and my first season covering the Dolphins was 2006.
Okay.
Which was Jason Taylor's Defensive Player of the Year.
Oh, wow. Season. Okay. Wow.
And I think he had a touchdown return
against the
at
Bears.
Soldier Field and did the Jordan
thank you.
Jump into the end zone.
That was a gruesome and miserable day. Yes.
And it was freezing. I remember it.
Yeah. Sent me up here to cover who do you find more interesting to cover? Jason Taylor, the defensive end, or Robert Quinn, the defensive end? Bears.
Post-career, too? Is that included, too?
Yes. Well, I don't know, man. I mean, God.
But that's when you feel old as a reporter, I think, when you cover a guy and then you start covering their kid, because Mason Taylor was at the Senior Bowl when I was there a week or two ago, and it's like, wow, okay.
Wow,
And his dad was there. By the way, his dad is like 50, and he looks younger than me now.
Of course he does. Yeah, Mason Taylor, by the way, the most productive tight end in the history of LSU football. That's not bad. I
love guys like that, though. Guys like Patrick Mahomes, for example, even though his dad was a baseball player, those guys that grow up around professional sports.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you ask Jarrett Payton about this sometime, probably.
Yeah.
Those guys that just grow up around it, man, they have such a sense of what it takes. They have they may not be able to do it. They may not have the talent. It's so hard. You can be so-and-so famous person's kid and have great genetics, and it just doesn't work out because it's such a minuscule percentage of people that are good enough to do that.
Yeah.
But at least if you grow up around Major League Baseball like Patrick Mahomes did, or you grow up around the NFL like Jarrett or like Mason Taylor did, man, you know what it requires. You know what kind of work you'd have to put in to make it happen. But to your question, Matt, about Cole Kmet, that's going to be one of the interesting things with Ben Johnson is what does he think of the core offensive personnel besides Caleb Williams? Caleb Williams is obviously probably the biggest reason why he wanted this job is because he believes in Caleb Williams. But what about DJ Moore? And what about Cole Kmet and DeAndre Swift, the guys that the Bears decided were good? Well, that was pre-Ben Johnson. We'll see what he thinks now. And you have all these resources, like we were talking about. You have this cap space, which I think could get up to maybe $80 to $90 million, depending on some cuts that they might make. And you have these three really valuable draft picks in the first two rounds. Those are the only rounds where you can really count on finding day one starters. It just depends how far down your priority list you get, because you can't start drifting into, oh, what if we take a tight end in the second round? Or what if we need to get a new number one wide receiver or something like that? You can't start getting into that way of thinking. That feels like luxurious to me if you haven't truly and fully addressed your offensive and defensive line.
You know, textures are bringing up an interesting point, which speaks to the whole idea of Ben's vision. And the way that we've been talking about it is, well, here's what he did in Detroit. Here's what he might want to kind of try and replicate that. But when Ben Johnson spoke on his hiring day about working with Caleb and working with the offense and seeing what he has and stripping it all down to the studs. You guys remember that comment, right? So what do you two, I'll start with you, Grody. What did you think that Ben Johnson meant by that? Did he mean plays and designs and schemes, or did he mean work with what you have in terms of talent when he said strip it down to the studs and build it back up?
I didn't hear the first part of the question. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Jason Leisure, what did you think he meant by that? That's wonderful
Ben Johnson,
honesty. Good
Ben
honesty.
Johnson said in part, I'll catch you up, Mark.
Thank you.
He said, in part, I'm not going to just bring the Detroit playbook in here and just drop it down on the table and say, hey, guys, learn this.
Playbook.
And we playbook, right, haven't we right, gone yeah. haven't we gone through that here before? Didn't somebody bring the Chiefs playbook
yes,
here?
100%.
Didn't someone a couple years ago bring the Aaron Rodgers Packers playbook
Ooh,
here?
Right.
And did none of that and any of that go anywhere?
Right. So that's playbook. So he was talking about playbook. I do think that personnel wise, he'd like to have what he ended up with in Detroit.
Yeah. The only thing
is that a safe thing to consider.
It's a good starting point on what he might want, but I believe that he is going to come in here with fresh eyes on the entire operation, including personnel. And as he starts to build out what kind of offense he wants to run with Caleb Williams at quarterback, and the Bears start to prioritize where they're going to allocate these resources, I think then you're going to see his plan. That's why I said I don't want to make any assumptions. I don't know what his plan is going to be until I see what he does. We've not gone through a single draft, a single free agency class, a single cap casualty season or whatever you want to call that.
Yeah.
We haven't seen anything. I hear what he says, but I got to see what he does.
Mark, have you heard enough to chime in? At this point, have you heard enough to feel like you can chime in?
I think I've figured out the context. Very good.
Excellent.
I loved it. Loved every bit of it. I do want to ask you, though, Jason, when it comes to the Bears off, you talked about like DJ Moore and Rome Odunze. They're going to be there.
I heard that part as well.
What do you think the... I'd like to think that the DJ Moore thing this year with Caleb Williams was just a true, like, trying to get down the chemistry. At times, it was ugly between those two. Do you think that that relationship is just something that will improve, or do you think that that could be a real serious problem area in that DJ Moore just a lot of the year did not look comfortable with Caleb Williams?
I think DJ Moore in an offense that maximizes his abilities is going to look better. And I fully expect, Mark, that Caleb Williams is going to have a good season in 2025. I think he's going to be a lot better. I love his mentality about where he's at. He was so, I think, objective and, you know, had no arrogance about himself when he talked about the ways that he needed to play better this year. I think he has completely the right attitude about that, and I think he's got the talent. Everybody thinks he's got the talent.
Yeah.
So I think things going better is going to make that look better. But DJ Moore and him seem, from what I can tell, to have a totally fine personal relationship.
Oh, yeah.
There's not this
yeah.
problem in the locker room. But you've got DJ Moore, man. He's got the accumulation of how many seasons between the Bears and Panthers of DJ Moore does his job and does it very well and just loses. Just loses and loses and loses. And now they put him with a rookie quarterback who is making rookie mistakes. And it's okay for someone who, like DJ Moore, is 30 years old to be annoyed by, or close to that, annoyed by rookie mistakes that Caleb Williams is making.
Jason Leisure, one more quickie for you. We're going to do a segment on Ben's Vision tomorrow about DeAndre Swift. Is he a part of this running back mix next year?
Well, he was part of Ben's Vision back in Detroit. He coached him.
And then he got launched.
I don't know. Sent away. I think that DeAndre Swift would have looked a lot better behind the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line. But I also think that Saquon Barkley, had he been here in Chicago, would be the running back that can make something out of nothing. And that was not really DeAndre Swift. He was not making something out of nothing. And he was not at all the kind of steady 3 to 4 yards at a time running back that, say, David Montgomery is. I think you're definitely going to see an addition at running back. I think whether it's through the draft or a good free agent signing, you're going to see them get a more powerful running back to pair with DeAndre Swift.
Thank you so much, Jason Leisure. Enjoy some February time. You got a little breather here before the combine?
Little bit of a break, yeah. Grody, were you listening to any of that?
It was really good. It was really
loved every word of it. Yeah.
You should know, Jason, it was Matt that I wasn't listening to.
Right.
Not you. I heard every word you said.
Sure. Welcome to the rest of my afternoon, Jason.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to sit and listen for 4 hours.
It sure is.
Right. Exactly. You were supposed to give
You're good at faking it, though. Oh, I loved every word. I thought you made some great points, whatever they were.
You gave me, Jason, a break from listening to Spiegel, and then Spiegel put it back on me.
I did.
It's a real problem.
I thought I was going to utilize you as, you know, the source of information. I thought you might be, but I learned the better part of that. Jason, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
See you guys.
Bye, Jason.
See ya.
There he goes.
Earlier today, a former Chicago Bull and Chicago Bulls media superstar said something absolutely outrageous about a current Chicago Bull.
Okay.
Or is it?
Dun, 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 dun.
John Morosi in about 15 minutes on all things MLB and the Cubs, but let's hear from that former Bull.